Unbelievable. I have to say, I go down to Sandy Beach a lot, you know, to body surf. If the wind is not happening, I'll go out, stand up paddling all, you know, all over the place. But if it's too windy, I'll go down to Sandy Beach. But if you've been down to Sandy Beach, there's kind of a heavy crowd, you know. You're one of the guys down there, one of the girls. But I have the Christafari worship tape in, or CD in. I've about worn that thing out. And I cruise down, I turn it up, cruise down to Sandy Beach and put my skull cap on, you know. And I'm looking pretty cool, you know, as I'm going by. And, you know, you can hear the sounds. The sounds are really neat. And, you know, guys are going, what'd they say, Jesus? What was that, you know? Reggae Jesus? But it's a really great worship album. You might want to pick it up after the service. It's just fantastic. I think Mark had said that it hit number 2 on the worship reggae charts. I think it's at number 4 now, but you know, after they came to Hawaii, they sold so many. So, I mean, it's really an incredible CD, so you might want to get it, and you've heard some of the music. Well, when we talk about Palm Sunday, what are we talking about? They actually sang about it, this last song, and it's when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And it was Passover week, and of course for us it's Easter, and Jesus made that triumphant entry. Well, you find in the Gospel of Luke, and you can find this in some of the other Gospels as well, but it says that if you want to grab your Bible and take a look, we'll just look at this for just a short time, and then I'm going to have Christafari come back up. But in Luke chapter 19, verse 29, it says, "And it came about that when Jesus approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village opposite you, in which you will enter and will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Thus you shall say to them, the Lord has need of it. And those who were sent away went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner of the colt said, 'Hey guys, what are you doing, man?'" I mean, here you're in, it's like getting in a car and driving off. "Hey, what's going on?" And they basically said, just simply said, "The Lord has need of it." And they said, "Okay, you know, take it, go." And so they brought it to Jesus, and they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they threw their garments on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their garments in the road and palm fronds. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which he had done. And then they began to cry out, "Hosanna." I've actually been on that road. It's from the Mount of Olives, and it goes down toward the East Gate. It used to be all natural and just a road there. Now they paved it over. But you can actually walk down that road. And as Jesus was going down, they were crying out, "Hosanna, Son of David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, as Mark had said, "Hosanna is save, Lord, save now." They were talking about, "Lord, bring your kingdom in right now." And the Pharisees, who were always at odds with Jesus, they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, your disciples are declaring you as the Messiah to set up the kingdom. Rebuke them. That's not right. You're not the Messiah. That's what they thought. And Jesus said, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." In other words, if they don't cry out Hosanna, if they don't declare that messianic psalm, Psalm 118, if they don't do it, then the rocks on the ground will cry out. Why rocks would cry out? I would have loved to have seen that, but why? Why would the rocks cry out? Because what Jesus was doing had been prophesied hundreds of years earlier. There was the prophecy that the Messiah would come and do exactly what Jesus was doing. And so they were crying out. And the prophet is Daniel. Daniel prophesies over the Jewish people and over Jerusalem. And he says, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people. Now, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, for your people and your holy city. Now, of course, Daniel was a Jew, so the prophecy is for your people, the Jews, and for the holy city, Jerusalem. And notice this, to finish the transgression, to make an end to sin, and to make atonement for iniquity. That's talking about the first coming of Christ. That's talking about the cross. To do all that, to deal with transgression, sin, and make atonement for that. And then the next part, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. That's the second coming of Christ. That's the crown. The first is the cross. The second part is the crown, where the kingdom age will be set up. And I think we're right at the cusp of that. I think that's going to happen really soon. But notice what he says. Okay, the Messiah is going to come. All these things are going to happen. And now he gives a time frame. He says, so you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat in times of distress. Now, when he talks about weeks, the term there is Shavua. And it's a Hebrew term for weeks. And he's talking about week of years. Now, if I would say to you, what is a decade? What would you say? A decade is what? 10 years. If I said a century, what is a century? 100 years. So if Daniel was saying to the people, Shavua, they would say 7 years. So 77s are declared for the Jews and for Jerusalem. But now he's giving us a prophecy, well, there would be 7 sevens or 49 years where there would be a rebuilding process, and then another 62 weeks or 62 sevens, which amounts to 434 years. It's a waiting period. So when you add those two together, the building period and the waiting period until Messiah comes, that's 483 years. From the decree that's given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah comes. It will be then after the 62 weeks. Okay, you've got the 7 weeks, the 62 weeks, and the Messiah will be cut off having nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. And so, the first part of that prophecy has already happened. The second part hasn't, and that's that last verse 27. Not going to deal with that. But notice the whole idea, the first part, where he talks about finishing the transgression, making an end to sin, an atonement for iniquity. He's talking about Christ's first coming in the cross. You see, that decree was given. March 14th, 445 BC, Artaxerxes gave the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 2. So Daniel says, well, there's 7 weeks and 62 weeks or 69 weeks from when that decree is given and the Messiah will come, but after he comes, he'll be cut off. And then the city will be destroyed. Well, you see, if you start counting down that 483 years, from March 14th, 445 BC. Well, let's go one better. Not just years, but let's do days. Because the Babylonian calendar is 360 days, not like ours, 365. And so 360 times 483 years comes out to 173,880 days. When Artaxerxes gave the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, March 14th, 445 BC, well, let's go 173,880 days, and you know what we get to? We get to April 6, 32 AD, right when Jesus made his triumphant entry. He's coming into Jerusalem. They're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. And the Pharisees are rebuking them, and they say, hey, stop them. Stop them from crying out. And Jesus said, if they don't, the rocks will cry out. And then after that, Jesus said, When he approached the city, he wept over it, and he said, if you would have known in this day, even you, the things that make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. This day, the very day that Daniel had spoken of, that the Messiah would come, if you would have known, but now they're hidden from your eyes. You see, they missed it, but it was so plain, it was so precise. And as we look back and we go, how did they miss it? Well, you see, within the week, we didn't just have the triumphant entry, but within the week, we had Jesus being cut off, put on the cross, just like Daniel's prophecy said. And as Jesus said, if you would have known, but now it's hidden from you. And then he goes on in verse 43 again in Luke chapter 19, for the day shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. The very thing that Daniel said. War and destruction would come, and the city and the sanctuary would be destroyed. You see, in Daniel's time, they didn't have a temple. It had already been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, had already destroyed it, so Daniel's talking about a temple that was in the future to be built. And we know that Ezra came and he built it, and then Herod continued on and expanded the temple. And then the temple was existing in Jesus' day, but now Jesus is saying the temple is going to be destroyed because you missed it. You missed the day of your visitation, just like Daniel had said. What a sad thing. What a sad thing, because I think we're right at the edge, and because there's still one more seven-year period. Remember, 70 weeks are determined. Or 77s, 490 years are determined. 483 of those years are already been fulfilled with Christ's first coming, the cross. But his second coming, the crown to finish all these things and to bring in everlasting righteousness. I think we're right there. We're close. He's going to come back and set up his kingdom. But you see, they missed his first coming. I would pray that you would not miss his second coming, because it is so close. He's at the door. He's standing at the door, ready to come back for us. And you see, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a tragedy to miss. Because, the Lord isn't up in heaven with a club, ready to wipe you out because you didn't come and follow him. In fact, not at all. He's probably up in heaven doing what he did over Jerusalem because he knew that they wouldn't receive him. And as Jesus in the Bible says, he lamented. He cried out as he looked over the city. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not have it. And he said, now your city is left to you desolate. You see, I think God wants to gather people tonight. He wants to gather them unto himself. In fact, he's weeping over the fact that maybe you won't be gathered. He doesn't with vengeance, with a club, send a person to hell. No, he does it with tears and weeping. He already proved his love for us by going to the cross, the first coming, the cross. Fulfilling that first part of Daniel's prophecy. But he will return soon. He will return and set up his kingdom. And I just pray that you won't be left behind. Let's pray. I'm going to bring Christ Afari out, and I'm going to have Mark just end off for us. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth that you declare to us. And as we think about the Palm Sunday, Lord, what great worship we've had tonight. Lord, and what a great prophecy that you've given. Lord, hundreds of years before Jesus came and fulfilled that prophecy. And Lord, all that Jesus did in declaring himself and doing the miracles and saving the lost and those who were kind of down and outers, Lord, he'd bring them to himself. And he would take those that were outcasts. and those that just didn't seem to get along in society. And he brought them into a relationship with himself and God the Father. And he healed them not only physically, but spiritually. The woman that was caught in adultery, thrown at Jesus' feet. And yet, Jesus wrote on the ground, and I think he wrote the sins of the Pharisees that brought her. And they all left, from the oldest to the youngest. And then he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "I have none, Lord. They've all gone." And Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." He didn't condemn her, but he instructed her. He said that your lifestyle is destroying you. And she experienced grace and mercy and love. And Lord, I pray tonight that there be those that are here, that maybe they've not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe they've not discovered the forgiveness of sin that Jesus gives us. I pray tonight would be their night. And maybe those that have left you, Lord, and those that have backslid, they have been away from you for a while. But tonight is a night to be all in, as Christophari said, and just to really make you Lord from this day forth. And so, Lord, I do pray that your Holy Spirit just fall and just minister tonight. Lord, just do a work in each and every life. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you and give you all honor, give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Why don't we stand together? Mark?
This song is called Messiah. The chorus is, "Messiah, my Savior, please touch my soul."
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
God is so incredible. I think sometimes we take him for granted. Almost all the time we take him for granted. And that book that is under your chair right now or in your hand, sometimes we just tend to look at it like a piece of history. Or even a show on the History Channel. But it's reality. And it's not just the past, but it's the present. And it's your future. And we can't take that for granted. We think that maybe if we just don't read it and just kind of push it away, it's just kind of irrelevant to us and it really won't have that impact on us. But trust me when I say this, you will give an account to what is in that book, whether you've read it or not. And that's sobering. You want to know something else? Pastor Bill was talking about numbers. I'll give you a number. 7 billion. That's how many people there are on this earth. But God created you with intention. God created you for a purpose. God knit you in your mother's womb. You may have been abandoned. You may have been hurt. You may have been this, and that. But let me tell you, you were created marvelously, wonderfully made for a time such as this right here. This day, this is the day that the Lord has made. You're not one in a million. You're one in 7 billion. And even if you have an identical twin, give the shaka and look at that thumbprint. You got an original one, man. Nobody has that but you. Nobody has that but you. And nobody has the calling on their life but you. We don't want to make cookie cutter Christians here. We don't want to make a bunch of little mini stone breakers. We want to make a bunch of disciples of Jesus Christ. Although stone breaker is like the coolest name in the world. I love that name. There's one stone that will never be broken. The cornerstone. Jesus is so good. Jesus is so good. As my wife sings this song, Yeshua, I want you to meditate on what I've said. And I want you to meditate on one thing specifically. Avion. It all comes down to one decision. Yes or no. And that's your decision today. Yes or no? It really comes down to that. Someday, every one of us is going to have to individually, not collectively, but individually, personally, give an account for what we have done with God's Son. And you can't say, yeah, well, my grandma, she prayed for me, so we're good. You can't be grandfathered into the kingdom. No. Not even grandmothered in. Grandmas can pray, can't they? Perhaps your grandma has been praying for this very day that someone would invite you to church. Hey, there's going to be a reggae concert. Ooh, got duped. You get to church. You know, I have this GPS on my phone, and it is so lame. I think that, like, Apple, like, played a trick on everybody in Hawaii when they set up their maps, because every one of the band members got led to some water tower today instead of this church. Anybody else been led to the water tower? He did say, you'll never thirst again. He's the living water. But there was no meeting there. You ever had the GPS on and then decided to go a different direction? You ever done that? And it just keeps saying, recalculating, recalculating. I'll be in the grocery store getting Kellogg's, and they'll be like, turn left now. I'm like, dude, I'm not even in the car. You ever just ignore it? I challenge you that there's a GPS, God's positioning system, and it's built in you. And perhaps that's what brought you here. Perhaps that's what is tugging on your heartstrings right now. But it's got to be more than just an emotional experience. You have to be all in. It's either yes or no. That's it. And if you say later, if you say maybe I'll wait a little while, I'm going to get myself together first. Indecision is a decision. All in or all out? It's like, hey, bro, I got my swim trunks on. Let's go swimming. I got my toe in. I'm good. Good to go. My leg is getting tired right now. You can't do this for an hour. Either you're in or you're not. Is it yes or is it no? And God brought you here so you could turn this no into a, it's on, man. It's on. I am in. 7 billion. And he died with you. When he hung on the cross, he died for you. He was born so that he could die, and he died so that you may live. And I'm not just talking about eternal life. Because we think, okay, yeah, I got another 40 years, 50 years, maybe 20 years, whatever. I'm good. I'll wait until I'm in my hospital to cry out and to say yes. You're not promised that. You're not even promised tomorrow. You could get hit by a coconut on your way out. More people die of coconuts than shark attacks. They do. It's a true fact. I saw it on TV. Speaking of shark attacks, how good of a swimmer are you? How good of a swimmer are you? Let's say we got to that shore of Sandy Beach. We saw Bill there. He's wearing his skull cap. He's rocking his Christ Safari reggae worship album. He's bumping it. And all of a sudden, pop, the gun goes off. Jump in the water. Let's start swimming. And we race. Where are we going? Where are we going? Just to the mainland, 7,078 miles. We can do that, right? You're a good swimmer, right? Everybody can swim, right? You got an island. Everybody can swim, right? But not one of us could make it, could we? And at some point, at some time, even the best of swimmers, like Eddie, who went, would go down. Even the best swimmer. The man who was dropping in on 40-foot waves, the man who said, I will save you, jumped on his board and paddled to rescue. And what ensued, the greatest search and rescue operation in the history of these islands. Even the top lifeguard at Waimea Bay needed to be saved. Why is he holding his phone while he's preaching? Because I was curious. We know what Hosanna means. What does Yeshua mean? Well, we know it's like Joshua, which is really like, it's Jesus. We call him Jesus, Jesus. But what does it mean? A noun meaning a cry for help. I like this. A saving cry. A saving cry. You see, in church, we use this Christianese. Parlez-vous Christianese? We start talking all these words, and we use words like salvation, and all of a sudden it just means nothing. But we need to be saved because we are drowning in our own sin. And it doesn't matter how good of a swimmer you are, we're going down. And so this is my challenge to you. Jesus, he is not reaching out to you, pointing a finger of judgment. He did not come to this world to condemn this world. But Peter, you're drowning. Peter, you're looking at the waves. You're looking at the swells. You're trying to duck dive when you should be walking. Peter, you're sinking. I'm reaching out my hands to you. Jesus is reaching out for you. Will you say, Yeshua? Will you say, save me? Will you cry out for your salvation? Will you say yes to him? Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? You know you've been born into sin. You know that the sin separates you. You know that you're drowning in the sin. You know that Jesus is Lord. Will you make him your Lord? Will you surrender your life right here, right now, to receive eternal life, to receive abundant life? If so, say these words out loud. Say them out loud. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I thank you for dying on the cross for me and for raising from the dead. Holy Spirit, come inside. Fill me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. I cry out to you. If you prayed this prayer for the first time and you meant it from your heart of hearts with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to make one final gesture. Just raise your hand and just say, Jesus, save me. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, save me. Thank you, Jesus, for these hands that are raised. Now, if you're a prodigal son, if you're a prodigal daughter, and you feel like you've been treading water and you've just drifted away from the ship, you know God never left you. He'll never forsake you. But it's time to get back on board 100%, to be all in again. If you've wandered away, take a moment and talk to God. You know what you need to say. You know what he's saying to you. Listen for his still small voice. If you're a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, pray this prayer. Jesus, I've drifted away. Bring me back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Bring me back to my first love. How I felt when I first met you. Help me to read your word every day. To share my faith, to go to church, to not be ashamed. I love you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. Help me to follow in your footsteps. I love you. If you prayed that prayer as a prodigal son or a daughter, would you give me the honor of praying for you? Just raise your hand right now. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these hands that are raised, for these souls that are saved. I thank you for some people came here not even knowing what to expect, and the Lord has transformed them. Lord, we pray that this wouldn't just be an emotional moment, but this would be genuine. A soul saved. We praise you, for your word says when even one comes to know you, all the angels in heaven rejoice. And so together we rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys mind if we sing Hosanna again? I know it's repetition, but this is Palm Sunday. And thank you guys so much. You guys have been so incredible. Now, if you're sitting, you're going to have to stand by the end of this because you're going to leave. And you're going to walk out anyway, so you might as well walk to the front. Let's fill up this front right here right now. This one is called Hosanna. And I want to see you guys singing along, okay? I want you to show our Brazilian friends who are watching online that Hawaiians can dance too. Come to the front.
Thank you.
you guys so much for coming out, for supporting this Roots Revival. Okay, one second. I just want to say a few things. If you know anybody that lives on the island of Maui, would you text them once you're done and just say, hey, go to christafari.com. That's Christ, A-F-A-R-I, christafari.com, and go to one of their shows. We're playing Queen Kahamanu Mall. That's going to be awesome. That we're praying for just hundreds of souls saved. We're going to give away hundreds of Bibles that night. We're playing Kumulani Chapel for Easter Sunday. That's going to be awesome. We're doing Hope Chapel for Good Friday. And we're doing some concerts in Lahaina and all throughout, even upcountry. Spread the word if you know anybody. Would you pray for us? Our next trip after this is the Philippines. And we're trusting in the Lord to meet us as we book airline tickets on credit cards that don't have the space and just really relying on God. Last time we were here, like 3 days later, I told the guys, I'm disbanding the band as you know it, and I'm asking you guys to come on as missionaries full-time, sending out support letters and going where God's calling us to go, where people can't afford to bring us, but we know that the harvest is ripe. So would you pray for that? And if you want to support us, the first thing you can do is prayer. Second thing you can do is share. The next thing is if God is calling you to bless our ministry, well, there's a table right back there, and buy some CDs, and if you want to add something to it, we won't argue. We'll take checks, cash, hugs, credit cards, whatever. We won't take your credit card, but we'll swipe it. But that's not why we're here. We're here for those hands that were raised. And if you raised your hand, oh man, I am so stoked for you. This is the beginning of the wildest adventure ever. And do me a favor, don't leave here tonight without sharing that with somebody. And would you just ask everybody around you when we're done, say, hey, what'd you think? Did you pray the prayer? And if you're looking for a place to go, this is an awesome church. This is an awesome church. So I want to see you here on Easter Sunday. Regrettably, we won't be here, but we'll watch you virtually, okay? Like our Facebook page. You can go to christafari.com and do that. You remember how I told you about He is Greater Than I? We're doing a music video. And if you just hold up a piece of cardboard and write with a Sharpie what God is greater than in your life, take a photo, take a video, short clip. All the information is on christafari.com. We want you to be in our next music video. We want to have living testimonies, a mosaic of living testimonies. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to do one more song. Now, this is the real party song. So if you're sitting in the back, that's not allowed anymore. Up front, everybody, pack it up, pack it up. All want to see everybody. This one's called Hands Up. That means you got to stand up, you got to come up. Everybody, we're gonna go out in a bang, okay? You guys ready? Come on, pack it up, pack it up. All the way to the front. Go and get them if you have to. Come on, 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 come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. All the way to the front. Repeat after me. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Left, right, come on now, left, right, left, right, double time, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, come on,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jump to the right, jump to the right, jump.
Jump to the right, jump to the right, jump.
jumping. Say, woo, woo. Now when I count to four, we're gonna jump and wave. One, two, three, four. Jump, 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 jump for Jesus. Jump, jump, jump. Jump, 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 jump for Jesus. Jump, jump, jump. Jump, 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 jump for Jesus. Jump, jump, jump. Jump, 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 jump for Jesus. Jump, jump, jump. Hands up.
Hands up.
Hands up. Anybody, everybody scream!
Mahalo Nui Loa. We love you guys.